another day. Another dollar makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream and you can holler.
Hi, folks, this is Jack Spierko with another edition of the Survival Podcast. One man's view of the changing world and the changing economic times and the things that we can all do to live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't. Dictated, it's always on a 50-mile commute. Once again, a morning commute here as I head from Arlington to Frisco, Texas. So if you hear background noise and think, gee, it sounds like that guy's in a car, it's because, gee, that guy's in a car. Today is Wednesday, October 15th. This is episode number 74, and I think we had a great episode yesterday. A lot of things went on, and I'm going to talk about a few of them over again before I go in to some real big news in the solar industry today and some things that you might want to start planning for 2009, because as I understand it, these incentives and these adjustments and improvements do not go into effect until 2009. I'm even going to tell you about some energy tax credit stuff that I don't really understand why, but it's not in effect in 08. It was in 06, it was in 07, it will be in 09. So I don't really get why that's the case, other than maybe it's going to make the economy a little better in 09, and I guess maybe the political parties figured either one of them would look good because of it, and so we'll see how that works out. But anyway, there's some other things I want to talk about first. Number one, yesterday's show, I gave up on the guy that had won. I actually heard from him by email last night. He'd been away from the internet for a while, and he was really apologetic. And I was like, "Hey, bud, don't worry about apologizing to me. I'm sorry that you missed out, but now this deed is done, and you actually helped me a lot." And if you didn't listen to yesterday's show, I found a really cool way to give out the prize. It's kind of like the old radio thing where I say I'll give the prize to caller number 9, with the exceptions being one, you have to have entered the listener appreciation contest by opting in on the form on the site for that, which just simply says, here's my name, here's my email, and I agree, okay, to tell other people about your show through a couple different methods that are described there. And my first prize that I gave away, first big prize anyway, was an iPod Nano or $150 worth of silver. The first person I drew wasn't here, gave him 3 or 4 days it was to respond. He missed out, so I tried that yesterday, and I gave a code word, said send me the code word in the subject line and nothing else. Most people that sent it in did that right. Some of you guys put extra words in the subject line. Didn't matter, because it did affect the outcome this time, but I'm going to tell you in a minute how this program is going to continue, so you need to realize when you're participating in this program, if I say the code word is code word, the only thing in the subject should be code and word, nothing else, right? I did send out a heads-up email to let people know who had entered the contest, to that group of people, not to everybody, just the people in the contest, hey, there's a contest running, and we're doing it today, and here it is, so come on out and listen for the code word. Put your email and your choice of prize in the body and send it in. I had about 250 people enter that contest, and thus far, well over 100 participated in sending the code word in yesterday of Patriot Garden. That tells me that this is a good way to do this, and what I'll be doing in the future is I may say it's the 5th, it may be the 25th, it may be the 40th email that I receive properly formatted, because we are going forward from here. I am currently looking for some sponsors. We're going to just call them contest sponsors instead of, you know, broad spectrum show sponsors, to donate items to the show for me to give away. And the way it'll work is I'm going to really push hard to, by the end of this month, have enough stuff lined up to do this at least once a week, if not a couple times a week. I'm trying to set some deals up right now. And again, if you know anybody that works for a manufacturer of goods and services that might be beneficial to our audience, somebody that runs a shop, runs a store, anybody that would like some very low-cost press, have them send me an email at jack@thesurvivalpodcast.com. Sox.com, and we'll try to set up something where they can donate something for this contest. All right? And I think that'll make this really interesting. I'll start being able to give more back to my audience, because you guys give so much to me. That's what this is really about. I want to grow the show together, but I want to constantly be doing things to help out the community. So that's how that's going to be run going forward, and it's going to be just like that. You enter the listener appreciation contest online. The day that I'm doing a show with the item, I'll send out a heads up right before the show is published. You can race to listen to the episode. You really need to listen to the episode. Don't go fast-forwarding through. I'll always do it toward the beginning, but there's always going to be some kind of specific set of instructions where if you just figured out the code word and sent it in by itself, you're not going to be qualified to win. You're going to have to follow these things exactly. I think it's the only way to be fair with everybody. So that'll be the contest going forward. And again, if you know anybody that might be interested in donating something for the contest, please contact them for me. Let them know what I'm doing and tell them if they'd like further details to please send me an email at jack@thesurvivalpodcast.com. I'm putting together a media kit right now. The other thing I wanted to say is the emails, the comments, all those things you guys have been sending me, they mean so much. As I was putting together my media kit yesterday, I was pulling out a few testimonials that I've received from people to put in there on just the thing that said, you know, what some of our listeners say about us. And, you know, God, folks, it really makes me feel good to hear that people are actually changing, modifying, and improving their lives based on, you know, my dictation in a car. This show has grown so rapidly and become so successful so fast, and it's all about you guys and what you've done for me. And I hate to ask you for favors, but I'm going to ask you for one more. If this show has made an impact on you, I'm looking for more testimonials. I started filtering through these and taking out anything that was too personal, not altering anything, just typos and taking out maybe extraneous information or show suggestions and just leaving the testimonial parts. And I decided that with as many as I have, I'm going to have my wife go through these for me and put together one document. And as we're approaching sponsors, I want to be able to send them a document with all these pages and pages that we already have of testimonials. But if you have been influenced by the show, and specifically if you believe that when I tell you something's a good product or that something's worth investigating, you would do that. If you can send me another testimonial or send me a testimonial to jack@thesurvivalpodcast.com, just put testimonial in the subject line, and I will, you know, as long as you give permission, I will use that in our efforts to acquire more sponsors for the contest. And eventually, I do want to bring in some sponsors for the show. I think I'm going to keep it very, very limited, maybe 6 a year that have like a show-wide sponsorship package. And I also wanted to let you guys know how much I'm trying to make this a community-driven show based on collective knowledge and intelligence and honestly collective honor of this group. You know, I run the contest on the honor system. Well, the other thing I want to do is, as I start bringing in prospective sponsors, and the show's the contest sponsors, if you're going to donate something cool, and as long as we think it's a good product, we'll use it, we'll give it out, no problem. But when I start talking about bringing in some real sponsors for the show, people whose names you'll hear on every show, something like that, or they'll have banners or something on the site, I'm going to want those to be of the utmost quality. So I'm going to have a panel, an advertiser awareness or an advertiser approval panel. And, you know, those people won't have a very big job because they'll maybe be 6 to 10 a year to even look at. But what that's going to be is simply looking at the company, looking at what they want to advertise, and giving it a thumbs up, yes, we'll take these guys, thumbs down, no, we won't. You won't get involved with money, you won't get involved with anything, just an up or down vote. I may ask my moderators on the forum to do that because they're a pretty good group of folks. And I think they would be willing to do that. But one way or another, people that are not directly attached to the sponsorship funds are going to decide who shows up on this show, who shows up on my site, who wins our endorsement. Because if I'm endorsing them to you, all right, and you're part of this community, that means that you're now endorsing them to your fellow listeners and your fellow members of the community and the forum and the blog, all right? And without our endorsement, it doesn't fly, all right? This is going to be a different kind of thing. I'm doing this online. I don't have somebody breathing down my neck, no corporate executives. We're going to make this show really special. So, again, you can help me out with testimonials, and I just wanted you to know about that. Let's get into some meat now, because I've kind of rambled on at the beginning. It's just really exciting, and I just just really appreciate you guys being part of all this, and I want you to know about the things that are coming soon. And one more thing, the new site, the new look to the feel to the site should be out probably by Monday of next week, so that's coming. Anyway, yesterday we talked about a Patriot Garden and how if we, you know, how we are actually at a point now where the United States is importing more food than we export. We are a net importer of food. This happened to us, I think it was 1990 that we officially crossed over that plateau with oil. But we were already kind of in deep crap in the 80s and the 70s from the Arabs. But at least we were producing enough more here than we were importing. And then, you know, that whole thing started in the 50s, and it went up. And the two lines, you know, how much we were producing and how much we were importing got closer and closer together. And then they crossed around 1990. And I put a link to a graph showing that on Grandfather Economic Reports yesterday. And the scary thing is, we've already crossed that boundary now with food. And to make this, you know, as abundantly clear as possible, what this means is if tomorrow the United States halted all exportation of food and halted all importation of food, we wouldn't have enough food to go around the existing supply channels. We now no longer can completely and totally feed our own population under the systems that we've set up. And because of that, I talked about how it's your patriotic duty, I believe anyway, to do some level of gardening. Produce something for yourself. I don't care if it's 5%. If everybody does a little, it has a major impact. And because it's something that you can do, it will improve your life. It will improve your quality of life. It'll put money back in your pocket, and it'll make you more self-sufficient. It just doesn't make sense not to. But I wanted to add some additional things because some people make comments about the show, either directly to me or on the blog or in the forum. And what they said is one of the other things we can do is buy from local growers. And I think that's absolutely true, and I think we should. All right, I think you should find sources of locally grown produce. Farmers markets, swap meet, I don't care if it's direct buy. You know, you find a farmer who sells stuff on a cart on the side of the road. As much local as you can buy, do it. All right, because it supports them and it keeps them doing what they do best. See, the reason that farmers sell their field to, you know, suburban real estate developers is because they go, well, I can keep doing this and killing myself in the fields and make poverty wages, or I can sell my 40 acres for $4,000 an acre, cash in big, keep my little house that's been paid for a long time ago, put a few improvements on it, and let my field go to development and live the rest of my life without having to suffer through anything financially. And when you put a man into that kind of a decision, a lot of times he'll make the easier decision, all right? Because at the same time, he's not making a lot of money. The taxes are killing him, right? He's being taxed into oblivion on his 40 acres. So the more you do that, the more local growers will be able to buy or be able to stick around. And the more we'll continue to, you know, one thing, there was different things we need to do. One, we need to increase local production of food. But at the same time, as we're increasing local production by doing it ourselves, we don't want to lose the existing production because then we're at a net even, right? So if you start growing a garden and your neighbor starts growing a garden and your other neighbor starts growing a garden and the four of you produce as much as one small scale little hobby farmer, little organic grower, but that person goes out of business, you're break even. So you need to support those folks. The main reason I didn't talk about this yesterday, though, is I do not want people to feel, well, I buy from local produce, so I don't need a garden. See, you still need a garden. We need to be doing both, okay? And as I started thinking about this, I started thinking about some cool things that people could do that listen to this show to help out local growers. The first thing that I think we could really do is look around and see, is there a farmer's market in my area? And if there is, make a commitment to go there at least once a month and buy some stuff. Right? You're gonna buy food anyway. Go there and buy some locally grown food at least once a month. If it's close to you, if it's convenient, Try to go there once a week or once every other week. But make a commitment to support it. All right? So find it and support it. That's number one. Number two, I know we got a lot of people on here that have a little bit of web ability, right? You can at least piece together a little five-page, you know, website with some pictures on it and stuff. If you find one of these farmer markets and they don't have a website, what you have to realize is that a lot of people will never show up because they don't know what to expect. When they see pictures of friendly people with all their produce laid out, they're more apt to go. So go down there, find the person that runs it, is responsible for it, and offer to put together a free website for them. All right? You'll take some pictures, you'll put it together, you'll give the address, and then register it with Google Local so that people find it. All right? And it's up to you whether you want to host it or use a free host and buy a domain name for them, or tell them, hey, you buy the domain name and all. Host it for you, or however you want to do it. And just, I'll say, be careful that you don't get too involved so you don't become like 24/7 tech support for some 60-year-old guy trying to figure out how the internet works, right? But if you can just give them a little web presence, all right, or if they have one that's like a page and nothing on it, you know, enhance it for them or something, it's going to make them a lot more effective. When they're more effective, more local growers will want to participate. Because of that, it will grow. When more people are there selling, more people will come to buy. That's how these things work. If you walk into a farmer's market as a customer, and there's three tables of stuff, and it's all pretty much the same, and it's not what you really are looking for, you're probably not going to come back, and you're not going to go tell your friends about it. And just like this show's grown by you guys telling your friends, any business that grows, grows mostly because people that buy tell other people, hey, this is worth checking out. All right, so, you know, that's the whole catalyst that you'll start with doing a little project like that. I mean, if you have the time freedom and you want to be that dedicated and you're not moving anytime soon and you're going to be part of where you live for a long time, you might even want to run a little email list for them. You know, maybe you just, you know, once a week send out an email to all their customers that want one telling them what's going on, or maybe once a month. And you don't get too complicated. You don't make it a big marketing piece. You just touch their customer for them. Maybe you volunteer that. Now, what if you look around and there are no farmers markets? Hey, maybe you organize one. You know, I don't really know how to do that, and I don't want to tell people that, you know, it's your civic duty to organize a farmers market. But if you know how to organize things, you know how to put things together, if you contacted a few local growers and said, hey, would you be interested in doing this, like, on every Saturday and see what it costs and see if you can figure out a way that everybody can kind of community pool their money and maybe you even make a few bucks off it. I think a guy that organizes something like that's entitled to a few bucks for putting it all together, for dealing with whatever has to be dealt with. Maybe it becomes a secondary income opportunity for you. I mean, I could actually see a person putting together something like this. It was running maybe three of them, 20 miles apart in key areas in major metro areas, and because of that, earning a fairly decent living, working a couple days a week during the week to keep things organized, and one day a week on Saturdays to make sure everything's, you know, good to go. So there's just all these different things that we can do to encourage local agriculture, to support local agriculture, and then by our active participation to be involved in local agriculture. And I'll tell you what, folks, if you have a garden in your backyard and you're picking cherry tomatoes in the summer and crisp spinach in the winter, you will have a greater appreciation for and a greater involvement with people that do it for a living. You will have more respect for them, and you will have a great deal more appreciation for them. So get involved at whatever level works for you. We all have time constraints and time limitations. We all can't do everything, but this is a place to look and see, well, what can I do? If it's just a garden, it's just a garden. But if it's a trip or two a month to a farmer's market, it may eventually have a bigger impact on your life. A lot of times you don't know what's going to happen by being involved with something until you touch it, until it touches you back. So just think about that. Now let's go into another subject that I promised to talk about today, and that is solar energy. There was this just big, giant bailout package that none of us wanted. It was $700 billion when the House voted against it to bail out the banks and financial institutions and everything. And you may be saying, what the hell does this have to do with solar energy? Give me a second. I'm going to drop one on here. You're going to like this. This is going to be a good, like maybe the only good thing to come out of this. It's like this bailout package is like a turd, and this is like a diamond in the middle of a turd we can pluck out and maybe use and do something good with. All right? So it came back at $850 billion. You know, what the hell did they put $150 billion more into this thing with? And there's some tax incentives and credits and things like that in there. One of them, and no one seems to really be talking about this. If it wasn't for a listener that sent me a link to this story, I wouldn't even know about it. It's a tax credit for solar energy that applies to you and me if we choose to take advantage of it. Before I give you the details, I want to be very clear on what a tax credit is versus a tax deduction, because this is a credit, which is much better. A tax deduction would be if you spend $1,000 on something, the government says you can deduct it from your income. So if you made $50,000 after all your other deductions and you had an additional $1,000 deduction, now you're reporting an income of $49,000 instead of $50,000. You basically save the tax on $1,000. You don't get an extra $1,000 off your taxes. You get, if your tax rate is 20%, effectively $200. That's a tax deduction. A tax credit is much more powerful, okay? And if you have a tax credit of $2,000 and you had to pay last year $10,000 in federal income tax, you now only have to pay $8,000 in income tax. In other words, it is a $1 for $1 exchange on the tax system. So it's like getting the money back completely null and void for free. So that means if you bought an item for $10,000 with a $3,000 tax credit, without any kind of hocus-pocus, mumbo-jumbo voodoo, its real cost to you is $7,000. So I think you can see it's much more powerful than a deduction. That's exactly what this thing will do for you. The first thing it does is there's been a tax credit in place, and it's worked this way. It was basically you got a 20% rebate up to $10,000, capped at $2,000. And there were some other limits and restrictions in there, including things like it wasn't available for commercial use and utilities couldn't use it. So your electric company couldn't go out and throw some solar panels up somewhere and claim the tax credit. And they would have done it anyway because it's capped at $2,000. And $2,000 to an electric company isn't much. And I may miss a detail here because I didn't get to write. I had some internet problems today, and I didn't get to write this down before I left the house. But I think I've got this pretty spot on in my head. Number one, it extends this credit for 8 years. So it was going to expire. They extended it. So this is going to run from now through 2016. Number two, no more cap at $2,000. It's virtually unlimited at this point. So if you went out and built a $100,000 solar array for your business, you have a $30,000 tax credit coming to you from the government, meaning your cost of the $100,000 array is now $70,000. All right. And as a business owner, you'd still be able to depreciate the asset. So I can't get into tax law or anything, but I'm telling you, there's for businesses, particularly, solar just got dirt cheap. Because you'll be able to depreciate the value of the asset based on the purchase price, even though you've already taken $30,000 off of it in a $100,000 situation. So that might sound a little complex, but there's I'll get to why it's important. If you don't own a business or you never would do anything like that with a business, you're thinking, why does this apply to me? It's a big deal. It's going to help you a lot, and I'm going to explain why here in a second. The other thing that it did is it raised the percentage to 30%, okay? And all of this is effective after December 2008, so don't go buy one today, you know, buy a photovoltaic system today. I think you're going to be able to partake in all this. You're going to have to wait till January, which I said is going to create a boom in the green energy market for whichever one of these clowns wins the presidential election. They're going to claim credit for it. I'm telling you right now, they don't get the credit. the Republicans that got enough of a spine to put something like this in here get the credit. And I ain't a real big fan of the Republicans right now, so I'm not chilling for them. I never am. But these guys got this done, and this is a good deal for all of us. And that's who should get the credit for it. So even when a jackass does something right, give them credit for doing it right. These jackasses did this right. Okay? The next thing is that utilities can use it. With no cap, which means that Texas Electric Company, Texas TXU, right, could go out and put in $1 million solar array and get a $300,000 tax credit. All right? Again, you might be thinking, how does this help us? I'll tell you here in a minute. All right? The next thing is people that get the alternative minimum tax credit, which are basically people that already don't pay taxes. It's, you know, a single mom with three kids that makes $40,000 a year. She says she's a taxpayer. She's paying tax, folks. She's paying gas tax, property tax, sales tax. She's paying Social Security tax, but she is not paying federal income tax. All right? And many families are not paying federal income tax. When Barack Obama says he wants to give a tax break to 95% of all Americans, what I want to know is how are you giving it to the 40% of Americans that already get this AMT? All right? Regardless of that, though, if you're getting the AMT, in the previous law, you could not use the solar tax credit. Say, we can't give you a tax credit, you're already not paying taxes. They've opened it up to those people. I have mixed emotions about that, but yeah, I can't really fault it. All right. My view is there won't be used very much because if you don't make enough money to even pay income tax, you're probably not going to have enough money to spend on a solar system. But maybe you do. I don't know. All right. And it also released an additional $800 million in energy bonds. In other words, bonds that will be sold to loan money for companies to develop alternative energy systems like solar panels and converters and inverters and windmills and all that other stuff. All right. So that was part of this $150 billion jacked up cost of this bill. And it's the only shining star that I can see in it. And again, I'd like to say thank you for the person that sent it in to me. And I'm sorry I don't remember your name. But I'll try to maybe mention you on tomorrow's show because you deserve recognition for digging this up, and I do appreciate it. And anybody that finds anything like this, you know, please send it on in to me. So now let's go back through this thing a little bit and talk about how some of the things that you might think don't help you and me really help you and me. What I've noticed as I've started to look at solar systems is even with the incentives and credits and things that they have, they're very expensive today. And they're expensive because there's a certain level of volume being done. And when you're in a manufacturing process, the more you manufacture, the lower your cost per unit, and the cheaper you can sell. The cheaper you can sell, the more you sell, so the more you manufacture. So the entire manufacturing process today is built around peak efficiency and getting into such a quantity level that you can sell for the lowest price point possible in your market with the highest retained margin. All right? So it's a race to see who can produce more faster. And whoever wins that race ends up not selling for the most, but selling for the least. It's called economy of scale. All right? Right now, there's not a big economy of scale in the solar industry. You don't drive down the road and see every 10th house with solar panels on it, right? There's a hell of a lot more economy of scale in swimming pools than solar energy. All right? When you start telling a business, you can go in, spend $100,000 on a solar system that you'll have a 5-year return of investment on anyway with your power costs, immediately get a tax credit of $30,000 and get full depreciation of the asset over 5 years, which would be an additional $20,000 a year in tax deductions. Solar energy just got really cheap for that business, and it's going to, 5 years into the business, be returning a huge windfall to the business. And it's going to let them say they're green and market that and everything else, all right? When you start having multiple businesses do that, you have that industry is going to boom. This industry is poised to be the next big growth industry because of this incentive. When that happens, the scale of production goes up, the cost per unit goes down. So while January might be a good time to start looking and getting some bids and talking to people, you may want to wait toward the end of next year as this economy of scale has picked up, just like when the big screen TVs came out, the 50-inchers were $5,000, and now you can buy one for $1,200. That's what's going to happen here. So it's a good time to start looking at it, getting some pricing, getting some options, start talking to people, finding out what's available. But now you're going to start seeing new generations of panels that can do more with less space, that are more efficient. All this stuff is coming. So next year or two, it's really going to be a good time to start looking at adding these things to your home. All right? If you have the money, you may just want to go ahead and do it already. But that's something that we really need to look at as a whole. How can we figure out how to afford this, how to earn a return of investment, what kind of value we'll put it into our houses? Because right now we're in a major real estate decline, and it's going to be things like solar energy, alternative energy systems that cut electric bills that are going to really drive home purchases in the future. So it's time to start looking at that. And then tying your timeline. Like if I was going to be in my home for another at least 10 years, I might be looking at 2010 before I really get serious about this. Based on my timeline with my home, I'm thinking second half, downhill side of 2008, there might be enough ramped up production to cut costs down for me to a point where this really makes sense. So it's always individual. It's always, you got to judge it for your own life and everything else. But this is something that's really exciting, and I wanted to make sure that you knew about it. I also want to throw something in at the end here this is one I don't really get the dates on again, unless it's, again, just to make it look like the guy that gets elected from either party, whoever it is, did something. But there's been a $500 tax credit, and I thought this was enforced this year, but apparently it wasn't. And there's all kinds of stuff you can do, all kinds of things that you can buy that you can get up to a $500 tax credit. And I don't believe it's a percentage. So if you went out and spent $600, you get $500 as a tax credit for doing it. And these are things like installing additional insulation, buying certain energy-efficient appliances, putting a radiant barrier in your attic, and all these other things. And there's certain criteria the materials have to meet in order to qualify. And I'll put that link on the website where you can look at the chart and you can see what rating these things have to have and things like that. So as you're looking for materials to do your energy improvements with, you can determine whether or not they're going to qualify for that. So here's how I feel about that. If you're not ready for solar energy, you don't have the money, I understand. That makes perfect sense. I also think, again, that we're going to see the price of this stuff really begin to come down. We're going to see businesses who can get a massive advantage taking advantage of this thing first, and utility companies doing this first. That ramps up of Conio scale. That makes the consumer pricing come down. So waiting for that makes sense. But this $500, all right, basically you can go out and buy $500 worth of radiant barrier for your roof, climb up in your attic, install it yourself, and get the government to pay for it. Now, folks, we are overtaxed. We are overburdened. We are paying for everybody else's crap at every opportunity. When something like this comes along, it's not getting it for free, because you don't just get it. This isn't an economic stimulus package. Isn't that wonderful? We'll send you a check. No. This is, if you get off your dead butt and either hire somebody and stimulate their business directly, or go out to Home Depot and stimulate their business and buy the right stuff and install it properly, and then take those receipts and claim it against your taxes, you get dollar for dollar up to $500 back. Again, don't run out and do it today. From what I read today, it was in force in 06 and 07, not in 08, but is in force in 2009. So in 2009, even if you're not doing solar energy, you should be looking at doing this $500 worth of improvement to your attic, to your insulation, to just buy, go out. I mean, basically, you can go out and buy an Energy Star stove for $600. As I understand it, you'll have to look into this a little bit deeper to make sure I'm not wrong about this. Again, I can only get so much information off the internet due to some connection problems this morning. But as I understand this, $600 properly rated appliance, you now get a $500 tax credit directly off your taxes in 2009. All right. So you go buy a new Energy Star stove. bring it home, plug it in the wall, and it effectively costs you $100. And it reduces your electric bill. All right, and it's good for the environment. And anything you can do, and I think radiant barriers and insulation are the two things you really need to look at. I was going to get somebody to install one for me, and as now as I look at it and I think about what it really is, it's not a very complicated thing to get some pieces of plywood so you have some decking, crawl around in your attic and cover the interior surface with a material, and then throw in another layer of insulation. And I think I can do that if I do it myself for around $500 and get the government to pay for it. Now, if you're going to have solar systems installed, everything that you do to increase the efficiency of electricity in your home magnifies the effect of the alternative energy source. I'm also looking at buying, I've looked online, I found a few do-it-yourself solar information kits. A lot of them have a way where I could sell them off the site and make a few bucks to support the site. I'm going to actually go out and buy a couple of them, look through them, and make sure they're a good value, and I'm going to pick the best one, and maybe I'll make that available in like a site store or something eventually. I don't know. But that's other things you can do, is do self-installed systems as well. Now, my understanding with this $500 energy credit, it is not deducting from or pulling away from your solar credit. So you could go out, put a $10,000 photovoltaic system in, put a radiant barrier and insulation in yourself for $500, get the $500 back, and get the $3,000 back from the photovoltaic system you have installed, the solar system you have installed, and effectively your cost for $10,500 worth of improvements to your home is $7,000. So that's a good thing. And I think it's also, we talked about how it's patriotic to garden, to conserve electricity, to figure out how to use alternative sources, to do all these things to reduce your own expenditures on electric bills. Makes you more self-sufficient. It makes you less dependent on your job. It makes you more capable of providing for yourself. All of those things are pretty patriotic, too. So today's show was more like an economics 101. I didn't really talk about how solar works and things like that. But you know what? When you have something this exciting come along, it's time to start planning for it. And maybe it's not even the home you're in today. Maybe you're planning on, as I've been saying, the whole world's going on sale right now. All right? Property values are depressed. Maybe you're planning on buying a new place. Maybe a south-facing roof just became one of the things you're looking for in a new home. And I think we'll see in the future that homes with a good south-facing roof are going to start having a better resale value than homes without one. That's going to be an interesting thing to take a look at. The reason for that, of course, folks, as long as you're in the northern hemisphere up here, your south-facing roof would get the greatest exposure to the sun. So it would get the greatest efficiency from installing a solar system. So that's something to think about as well. And again, folks, I hope this has really helped you think. I hope it's gotten you a little bit excited because, you know what, there's so much freaking depressing news. You know, we look at the election and we go, well, we're going to get McCain spending money we don't have or Obama spending money we don't have. Both of them on some things that seem okay and both of them on some things we really don't want. And there's a lot more don't want than do want on both sides of it. And besides, we don't have the money. Neither one of them's planning on cutting spending, and it's just depressing. And you look at our economy and you go, either one of these whack jobs are going to make it worse. I think Obama will make it worse than McCain, but that doesn't make McCain right or good. All right? So that's depressing. You look at the stock market, that's depressing. You see a big bounce yesterday. You know it's short-term. People are starting to take profits off it already. We'll see it start to decline again. We're going to get bad retail, bad employment numbers coming out soon. That's going to push it down. That's depressing. What do we have to be excited about? An emerging green energy market that will help reduce dependence on foreign oil. All right? That's something to be excited about. A new emerging movement that makes people stand up and produce their own food through gardening in support of local agriculture. That's something to be excited about. We put these things today together under a new patriot movement. All right? Patriotism is not about just saluting the flag, or it's not about just being on the fringes and moving out in the wilderness and saying, we're out here, I live by the Constitution. All right? Patriotism is about making a difference for your country in a positive way and believing that your country's worth doing it for. And it's not, and you know what, if you're fed up with the government like I am, sometimes it may be hard to think that way, but think the way that we fought in the Army, with a soldier next to you. I don't care if the mission is really something I believe in. What I believe in is the man next to me is depending on me, and I'm depending on him, and we won't let each other down. Well, look to your left, look to your right, and online, look to your left and right. These people are here with you. Don't let them down. And you can do that best by building a self-sufficient lifestyle for yourself and by living the life you want if times get tough. Or even if they don't. Again, this has been Jack Spirico with the Survival Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Tune in tomorrow for another edition.
You can scream and you can holler. It really doesn't matter, 'cause it all gets spent.